I want to speak this morning about telling the good news, about evangelism, sharing your faith, telling people about Jesus. We're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 2, but we have several different scriptures to look at today. If you grabbed one of the printed bulletins, they're printed on that bulletin. Otherwise, try to keep up. You don't have to turn to everyone. You may want to make notes of what the references are. My purpose today is not to beat you over the head with the need for evangelism. If you've been in Baptist churches all your life, you've had that enough. But just to encourage you on the importance of being prepared and willing to share your faith and to share the gospel message. Here at the beginning of the year, I just think it's a good practice to renew our minds on these things. I read a book this week specifically just to improve my temperature on sharing the gospel, to encourage myself on how to and just the reasons why. So today is really just the biblical mandate, why we need to be telling people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And beginning in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said to Timothy, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. That is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true faithful teacher to the Gentiles." The Apostle Paul to one that he had raised up, Pastor Timothy. He had sent Timothy to Ephesus because the church that they had started there was having some issues. And he sent Timothy there to be their pastor, their overseer. I specifically want to draw your attention to verse 4 that we read there. God wants us to pray for all people, and God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants all people to be saved. It does not say that everyone will be saved. We know that. But it sure does say that God wants people to know the truth, which brings them to salvation. This truth is the knowledge of God, knowing Him. But how are people going to find the truth if they do not know God? Where are these people that need to know God? Where will they go to find out? Who will tell them? Jesus himself said to his disciples, and it's recorded in John 15, verse 26, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Now, clearly there, he's talking to the apostles and those other disciples that were close to him, that had been following him around. He said, I've been with you. You've been with me. You need to go tell this. God will send the Spirit ahead of you. The Spirit will testify about me, and you also must testify. Words of Jesus. We must tell the story. We must speak the truth. And we should ask the Holy Spirit to go before us, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father. And as we previously read in 1 Timothy, he said, "I urge you to pray for all people. Pray that the Spirit prepares their minds and their hearts to hear the message. Pray that the Spirit gives you the right words and the wisdom to know when to speak and when to listen and what questions to ask and how to guide conversation." That's what God wants to do. He wants to open the hearts and minds of men. He wants to enable you to help you share the story. Now, most of you know the verse in chapter 1 of Acts, verse 8, that is part of our mantra around here about going and making disciples. Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That means at home and across Texas and North America and to the ends of the earth. We need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to open doors for us. He will testify on behalf of Christ, and so must we. You see, a witness really only speaks to what they know. A witness just tells what they know, what they've seen and heard, what they believe to be true. Of course, the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Let's go ahead. Let's look at that one. It's worth the time to look. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And we summarize it really simply, go, make disciples. And that is our mission as the church. But one cannot be a disciple of Jesus until they know Jesus. I mean, that just seems reasonable, doesn't it? And people cannot know Jesus until they've been introduced, until they've heard from His Word. They've heard the testimony of His followers. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. First the Jews and then the Gentile." The good news story carries the power of God. It's His Word. It carries His power with it for the salvation of people. Later in Romans, in chapter 10, Paul wrote, "The Word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now that doesn't mean just to recite a magic phrase. Calling on the name of the Lord there means to call out to Him, to submit to Him. It says, believe in your heart. That same word is translated faith. To have faith, to believe, and to call on Him as your Lord. When you do that, you will be saved. And Paul went on to write in that very same passage, verse 14, "How then can they call on someone they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent, as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.'" And he's quoting there from Isaiah. You want your feet to be beautiful? You may not care about that. But listen to the sentiment. "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." We need to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, you do not have to be a vocational preacher. In fact, out in the world, you're better off not being identified as a preacher. I want to tell you, away from here, Most of the time when I meet people and they hear I'm a preacher, it's like, okay, everything's changed now. I have to be careful what I say. I don't really want to talk to you. I'll call you when I need a funeral. But, you know, they'll say nice things, but the whole situation changes. In your workplace, at school, among your friends and family, you have much more influence than the preacher. You don't even have to be a good public speaker, see? You don't even have to be a good public speaker to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. You really only just need to be able to tell your own story with him, to be able to share what you know about Jesus and how he has changed your life. And listen to me, if you don't have a story with Jesus, you need to get one. I'm not saying you got to go sow some wild oats and have a bad, be a terrible person so that you can tell people how God redeemed you from that. You don't need to do that, but you need to have a story. If you are a follower of Christ, you need to know enough and you need to be close enough with him that a story comes out. At least be able to share his written word. Paul, he wrote a lot of our New Testament, but one of the things that he did is he just went around telling his story. Now, his was pretty dramatic, the Damascus Road story. Honestly, that's a good one. We don't all have that one. But he often just told his story. Look at Acts 22, Acts 26. He's retelling his story of how Jesus invaded his life and redeemed him from the one who was trying to kill Christians. And maybe even before we pound somebody over the head with the Bible or our story, maybe we just need to learn to talk to them and ask some questions to generate some good conversation. The book that I read this week is Questioning Evangelism. And he wasn't questioning the need for it. He was saying, use questions. Use questions to help people, to guide the conversation. In Mark chapter 10, there's a story about a man coming to Jesus. It says he fell down on his knees before Jesus and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" I mean, what an opportunity, right? If you ever had an opportunity for telling someone the gospel, the good news story, there it is. He fell at his feet, said, "Tell me how to have eternal life." Did Jesus take out his four spiritual laws and say, "God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, but you're a sinner, you're a terrible person, you need to be redeemed for that, and I'm here to do it. So I want you to say this prayer." Is that what Jesus did? I mean, the man's asking. Jesus asked him a question. When the man said, "Good teacher, tell me what to do to have eternal life," Jesus said, "Why do you call me good?" What? Jesus he'll open the door for your best presentation here. And Jesus asked him a question. "Why do you call me good?" You see, he was trying to get the man to think about his own belief. Because if that man believed that he was talking to the God of the universe, he has to obey. Jesus said, "What do you think? What does the law tell you?" And the man repeated the law. He repeated it and said, "I've kept it." He was a good guy. He had followed the rules. And Jesus said, "You know what? There is something keeping you from God. It's your wealth." Jesus knows the hearts of men. And he said, "Here's what you need to do. You need to go sell all you have and then come and follow me." He saw the potential in the man and told him exactly what he needed to do after he questioned him to probe his own thinking. And you know the story as it goes. It says the man went away sorrowfully. We don't know if the man ever did what Jesus suggested that he do. But Jesus' question, though simple, drove right to the heart of the matter. I was speaking to a couple of guys yesterday, and one of them wanted to show me this tattoo. And it had all kinds of symbols. And I said, what does it mean? I mean, that. Why did you put that on your body? Was, I guess, the question behind the question. I said, what does it mean? And he starts telling me about this religious connotations. And so I was saying, Lord, give me the right question. Give me the right question. And I was beginning to ask him questions about what it meant, because in his 30-second explanation, I could easily see this doesn't make sense. You've already contradicted yourself. Let me help you understand that. And wanted to go there, and then someone else interjected and took the conversation another way. And I woke up this morning thinking, I didn't ask the right questions. You know, I didn't get to. And I hope I see that fellow today. What I'm saying is, we just need to be prepared. We need to be interested enough to have the conversation. You don't have to convert them in the first conversation. In fact, most of the time it doesn't happen that way. Most of the time people need some time. They need several introductions. They need to process it. Occasionally someone you talk to is ready. The Holy Spirit has prepared them. Maybe someone else has talked to them and they're ready. They're like, yes, dunk me. Let's get on with this. But most of the time it takes effort and time to let the person explore the truth. And like I said, good questions are helpful. They're not, it's not to that you're supposed to set up your brilliant sales pitch, but just to genuinely be interested in the person and explore truth with them and open the door to, for sharing your faith. And let me give you a little space to breathe here. I'm not going to give you an excuse, but just an understanding. It's not up to you. It's up to us to be faithful, to be prepared, to do what God has called you to do. But another person's decision is their business. And it is not your response. We are not responsible for what people do or decide. We are responsible to be faithful with the truth and to do our best to help them. But their decision is between them and God. And so we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide them. And you don't have to come back with a notch on your pistol that says, I got another one. You see, scorekeeping is not at all what this is about. It doesn't even say that you get credit in the kingdom for another person coming to Christ. There's not a scorekeeping here. We just need to be faithful and do what God has called us to do. And I would rather people take time to know what they're deciding and to commit to it than just recite a prayer and then go away and not make any change in life. How disappointing is it when you share your faith and you see no movement? It's disappointing, isn't it? If you've done it, you've had that experience. You will have that experience. It is discouraging. It is also discouraging to speak to someone and you know that the Spirit's working on them, and they even come to the point of praying for redemption and asking for forgiveness and committing their life to the Lord, and then it's like that, you know, the next time you see them, it's like it never happened, and there's never, they won't commit to anything, and there's no change in their life. That's discouraging. But again, you know, I need to do my best to help them, but in the end, it's their responsibility. And I don't have to go to glory with the guilt of what that person decided, you understand? You don't have to carry that. It's not about your guilt or innocence, what they decide. Be faithful to do what God has called us to do. Salvation needs to be shared because God wants all people to be saved. That's what we read in 1 Timothy. He wants us to pray for people. He wants all people to be saved. So we need to share the truth. We need to share our salvation story because the Scripture says we should. In other words, God says. God says. It's just that simple. The salvation story needs to be spoken because it carries the power of God for people to be saved. We need to share the truth about Jesus because people will never know unless they hear. And let me tell you, even in this neighborhood, you will be surprised as you talk to people how little they know about who Jesus really is. It's not just other countries and some other part of the world. It is especially true in the United States and even in this Bible Belt. People do not know Christ. They do not know the good news story. They don't know who He is or what to do about it. They know the names, they know about the church, but they do not know who Jesus is and how to have a saving, fruitful relationship with Him. I feel like I'm ranting. That's not what I wanted to do this morning. I want you to see in the Scripture, this is our task, and I want you to be encouraged. Now, we have to prepare ourselves. Don't expect it to just come magically as you sleep. Get into the Word. Practice trying to steer conversations to something spiritual. And be prepared to share your story with Christ. One of the things that I think we have to pray for is compassion. I mean, I'm not normally a compassionate guy, honestly. I'm not good at evangelism. And so I pray, Lord, give me the right heart. Help me have compassion. And one of the things that I've discovered there is it helps me to read about Jesus' compassion. He was moved by His compassion to interfere in people's lives as they allowed Him. I read about the Apostle Paul's compassion for people that he talked to people in lots of different places that were not like him at all, but his compassion that they know the gospel of Christ drove him. You might even read about Jonah. He didn't have very good compassion. In fact, he failed. He didn't go do what God told him to do until a whale spit him up on the beach. I can identify with Jonah. I don't want to go to Nineveh. You might just save those sorry people. That was his attitude. We need to pray for the right compassion. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to convict the hearts and minds of people that God is to whom God is sending us. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to invade our hearts and minds, to give us the right questions, to give us the right statements, to guide our minds and our hearts, to give us the wisdom to know when to speak and when to listen. We need to pray for those opportunities. Lord, show me. I know I'm going to encounter people today that need to hear about You. Can You show me those that are ready, those to whom I need to speak? And prepare yourself with God's Word. I think I tell you that over and over. Get into the Word. That is your best preparation. This is not a how-to sermon. This is a encouraging you to sermon. It just, again, the biblical mandate. Why, according to Scripture, that we need to be prepared and we need to be willing and able to share our story. Now, we need to have some how-to talks, but the pulpit's not a good place for that. We need to get down to nuts and bolts and go out and do it together. Have some failures with each other. And learn how. And even in our neighborhood, I promise you, within a block, any direction, within one block, any direction of this building, there's a family that needs to know Jesus. That alone should be convicting to us. And they're across Texas and North America and to the ends of the earth. Go. Make disciples. I'd like for the music team to return and